The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or on how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goals, Nathan has the strategies to get you there. And now here's your host, Nathan P. Ross.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Creator of the 401 math illustration, which you can see at our website, baplanner.com. That's BEAPLANNER. Scroll to the bottom of that homepage and you will see a sample illustration of a 401 trust with approximately a account balance of $350,000 to get started. I want to go on to say that here on the show, as usual, we discuss tax planning strategies for investors, primarily those who have decided that real estate's the best way to grow their wealth. And before we get started, I wanted to elaborate on the disclaimer that you just heard from this radio station, that BA Planner or Nathan Ross or NP Ross et al. Does not become your tax, legal, real estate, or other professional advisor just because you listen to this radio show, hear us on a podcast, access a website, submit a contact us request, etc. A client relationship will commence only after we've been provided enough information to know whether we can help you, we've invoiced you, you've paid, and then we'll start giving you advice for your specific facts and circumstances. So in the meantime, we strongly encourage you to consult with your existing advisors regarding anything you might hear on this radio show or, for that matter, anyone else's radio show. And I'll also suggest that discussions of tax issues are as up-to-date as we know, but of course, that's part and parcel of why we would suggest you consult with your current advisors, because they know specifically the facts and circumstances that you're confronted with, or if they don't, you absolutely need to make them understand those facts and circumstances, because there are not many questions you might ask a tax professional that relate to the Internal Revenue Code where the answer is not maybe. Okay, so maybe is what we need to drill down to when we're considering your specific questions. If you have questions that you'd like to ask me on the air, you're more than welcome to call 281-558-5738 or 281-558-KSEV, or you can email me at nathan@npross.com, or you can send me a text here while we're on the air to 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900, and I will answer many questions, assuming we're somewhere in the ballpark of what I need to get into today's show content-wise. Happy to address questions and answers real time. Let's see. I want to mention, I've kind of already tangentially discussed what we do, but I want to be a little bit more specific and help you understand that we are planners, not reporters like most CPAs, and effectively we're trying to help you understand as you move forward with your real estate investing, whether that's buying single-family properties or buying multifamily properties or partnerships, investing in partnerships that are buying multifamily properties, or maybe it's a hotel they're purchasing or an office building. We're seeing all manner of assets now come across in the private syndication market that we work in. And, you know, the issue for most, I'm going to say new investors, but it's really true of all investors, because these transactions vary from one to the next, is understanding what that, 30 to 100 page private placement memorandum document and or the 150, 200 page company operating agreement, which is also known as a partnership agreement. But it's your ability to understand what the provisions are on this specific transaction, not what you did the last time with another investment sponsor, or maybe even the same investment sponsor, terms and conditions, sharing allocations, the manner in which the allocations are calculated. It's all subject to change, and in fact does change from property to property to property, because, you know, each property is different, so each opportunity is different. Therefore, a syndicator or sponsor might suggest that a 20% override is appropriate for one property, and now we're seeing as much as a 40% override on others, which doesn't mean one's better than the other. It means it's different, and you need to understand what the difference is to know how to assess these opportunities, to understand why, in fact, a 40% override might be a better project than one that has a 20% override. It's not just a simple math calculation. I had an email this week from one of our listeners that's emailed me several times before, always ask good questions, and I promise this is a real email. This is not to generate more work for MP Ross CPAs or Nathan Ross. But essentially, he said, you know, I hear you talk about the 401 trust. As you know, I've emailed you questions in the past. And he wants to understand, well, what if I already have a 401 trust? How can you work with me? In other words, our signature strategy, which involves typically taking a client, and I'm going to say, one that fits our profile, and I'll define that here as someone that's behind on saving for retirement or creating the wealth that's necessary to achieve financial freedom. Since retirement is really not an age, it may not even, in fact, be an amount of money, although I tend to look at it that way. I skew the advice that I hear on the radio often, where it just, you know, some of these investor groups make it sound like that money grows on trees, which I guess if you're talking about an apartment tree, that may be the case, but that's not usually what the understanding is when you're sitting in a workshop and you're being told that you can retire in 2.5 to 5 years, or I think one of the platforms here in Houston says that on average their membership retires in 2.5 years, which, as one of my contractors used to say, that sounds like a real whopper, meaning it may not quite be true. And I think it's absolutely a whopper based on the fact that I have many clients in many different investor platforms, including that platform, and I'm still looking for the party that's retiring in 2.5 years, unless they have $1 million or more in retirement funds to get started, and they define retirement as $60,000 or more, or less, rather, after tax, for their specific facts and circumstances. But specific facts and circumstances is what we look at when we illustrate the next 30 years of your investing. I'm going to pick up when we come back for the break. We're getting ready to take a commercial break, and if you would like to ask me some questions, give me a call at 281-558-5738, and I will come back to this listener question.
Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile, but don't worry, be happy. When you're worried, your face will frown.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. 558-KSEV.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals. Because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, welcome back to the Be A Planner show with Nathan Ross, where I was discussing a listener's email earlier, and as part of that answer to those questions, I was explaining who our profile client is, who comes to work with us, because it ties in part and parcel to these questions, and I was mentioning that, you know, we're typically working with someone that's behind on retirement savings, those that have decided that real estate's the preferred vehicle to generate wealth for retirement or for living currently. It depends on your facts and circumstances, because the 401 trust strategy is one that it's the only 401 that pays you, versus you simply continuing to pay paycheck after paycheck into the 401k at the office. And we can do both. As we've discussed in prior shows, you absolutely can participate in your employer's plan and also have a side gig or some self-employment income of some sort that allows you to create your own 401 plan that I refer to as a 401 trust. The marketing term for that you've probably heard of is solo K type plan, and that's a term that's used by IRA custodians generally that market a product that allows you to do similar transactions. However, there's no reference in the Internal Revenue Code to Solo K as there is for a trust created pursuant to Section 401. In any event, the majority of our clients that come to us have their wealth currently in their 401K, an IRA, 403 program. A lot of municipalities or school districts will use 457B programs, SEPs, SEP plans. There's a number of retirement plans that we can use those funds or roll those funds into the self-directed 401 trust model, including, by the way, if you live in the great state of Texas and you're married, happily would be my recommendation, we can use a legal maneuver. We call it a post-nup. You probably heard of prenup, which is done before two people marry. Well, a post-nup is done after, and that's something that's more and more common the way we live today, where maybe we've got second or third marriage late in life, and we've got multiple sets of heirs already, and they're a little bit nervous that dad may be marrying a pilot or a race car driver, and they're concerned that what they thought they had coming as their share of their mom or dad's net worth might get reconfigured. So the post-nup is a common maneuver these days or strategy, and we use the same general statutes to repartition or to partition retirement assets. We also work with people that have just recently joined a mentor platform like the aforementioned that is telling them that they can retire in 5 years or less. They're confused because they don't see it when they look at the math of their specific facts and circumstances. And we will actually look at that math. We'll look at how you define retirement, not how somebody else does that's probably never had the dollars you had or have that could be rolled over under the right code section to generate twice. That's two times the amount of retirement wealth that what they're telling you to do will generate. We'll not only explain the options, we'll show you an illustration that will show you exactly when you might be able to retire, all based on pro forma information, and which is all we have when we invest in real estate partnerships. And we'll not only show you how to analyze that globally or at the macro level, if we're referring to economics, we'll show you how to analyze that based on some assumptions that you can make as to rates of return that you might experience going forward, tax rates. I mean, we help with all this, and we'll show you what that translates to very specifically. It's not emotion. It's not hype. Which is what I hear routinely from the assorted platforms that you can hear on radios, podcasts, case study nights, as the case may be. It's all good stuff in terms of the motivational aspects. I like the fact that there's other people that are better at that than I am. I hope to motivate you by showing you the benefit of investing in real estate under the right code section. That's really my only goal. And then, of course, to help you understand what you're signing up for in any given project. And I'm amazed at times at how people believe the fox that's guarding the hen house, let's say, without looking at some independent third-party advice, whoever that may be, your attorney, your accountant, whoever you have in your world that's familiar with real estate private partnership syndications and understands the real estate tax rules that apply, understand the retirement plan tax rules that apply, and then understand how to get your throughput, your annual outputs down in the lowest possible tax bracket. We refer to it as zero tax math. May not be zero, depends on how much money you're making at the point that it matters, which is when you decide to live off of your real estate, as to how low we can get it. But let's just say we can get it lower than if we try, than by not trying, as the case may be. Speaking of, so now I want to go back to the question, and here was the email question. I have an existing 401k trust under another planner, or with another planner, I suspect is what they mean, and I'm already investing in apartment syndications. Good. Good decision. I like the services your team offers, and would that's all from, I guess, listen to us on the radio, because I've never spoken to this person. I like the services your team offers, would like to transfer the planning services to the Be a Planner team. What procedures should I follow to initiate this move? And the services I'm interested in with your team is a review of syndication offers, tax planning and preparation for retirement, tax advice for investment property purchases, both buying and selling for both commercial and residential. And so what I would tell someone in this situation is it is very common that people come to us that already have a solo K type plan. They usually purchased it from one of the IRA custodians that's out there. There's many that offer that service. And, you know, you could look at that type of service as simply a document generation. You know, a 401 trust is a trust. It's not a trust promulgated under the state of Texas laws, however. It's promulgated by the Department of Labor, and the IRS acquiesces to the terms and conditions. And we refer to that promulgation as a prototype plan. So in other words, the DOL has blessed certain provisions and language and terms and conditions. The IRS acquiesces to them, and then an IRA custodian typically purchases a prototype plan, much like we do. So when we form your plan, we're using a document generation service that has already spent the big bucks to say, hey, here's a prototype plan with the following provisions. And the opportunity, or it's actually, I guess, the lack of opportunity in many cases, is that a solo K plan set of documents is likely not the same as the next custodian solo K documents or the next one, because there's some flexibility in the terms and conditions that they can offer in their specific plan. And most IRA custodians, at least that I've dealt with as we help people roll out of them, do not have CPAs and tax lawyers to answer questions about the details, the minutiae that they're going to get if someone buys their solo K. So you'll often see those plans that don't have some of the critical provisions in them that we make sure are in the documents that we have generated to allow you to implement assorted strategies that we know you're going to more than likely need to execute or desire to execute once we show you the math. The other thing that I would point out is that a custodian is absolutely not required in the self-directed 401 trust option. It's a scenario where you will be the trustee or whoever you select, and you will control the checkbook. You will decide who, when, where, and how much to invest. You don't need to go back to a custodian each time you want to invest and seek approval. And that's a big deal when you're in this particular space of investing with apartments, because the sponsors that know what they're doing have an existing capital net that you're trying to break into. They make a transaction available, some of them, and it's a scenario where you need to act now to have a chance at investing. And when you look at the fact that some of these platforms have thousands of potential investors, and maybe the syndicator needs 100 to get this next transaction done, you got to move quick. You got to have somebody lined up, assuming you believe like I do that every deal is different and you want to make sure you understand what you're signing up for. You need to have someone ready to go to look at those transactions and explain the math to you so that you can make a decision. We're coming up on a second break here. Again, if you want to ask me a question, text me at 713-782-1900 or call here at the station, 281-558-5738. We'll be right back.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. Or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
From annual checkups to managing chronic conditions, taking care of your health should always be a priority. At Houston Methodist, our primary care doctors are available to provide personalized care for you and your family safely. We offer a variety of convenient ways to get care from us, from same-day sick visits to extended hours at select locations. And we are taking every precaution to keep you safe during your visit. Choose your doctor or schedule online at HoustonMethodist.org/stayhealthy.
When it's time to replace a roof, some people put it off until an emergency arises. This is Deb Tejada from Tejas Roofing, your Houston roofing company. I understand. People tell me it's way too complicated and too expensive.
Our customers tell us they wish they would have done it sooner.
I hear it all the time. Once the roof is replaced, they wonder why they waited so long, because it's really not that complicated. We show up on time, we quote you a fair price, we replace most roofs in just one day. At Tejas Roofing, we take pride in making the process easy.
The cleanup is phenomenal. People always comment that it looks like we were never there. And now those customers sleep better at night knowing your new roof has been installed correctly.
When you know you need a new roof, don't put it off. Call me now, Deb Tejada at Tejas Roofing, 281-251-0304. Estimates are free, 281-251-0304. When you need roofing repairs, a new roof, or remodeling, call us at Tejas Roofing, 281-251-0304.
We want people of honor and integrity representing us in Congress. We want people that have to live by the same rules we do.
Ask them to uphold the Constitution. That's what I want.
I have a new grandchild, and I want her to have the same America as I had growing up.
As a veteran, I am sick and tired of somebody apologizing for what we've done in our country.
An independent voice for conservative opinions. AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Welcome back to the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, where we were discussing a situation where a listener had emailed wanting to know how we would work with someone that already has the foundational documents in place for the 401, and I was working my way through some of the issues that we see with the general profile of prospect that comes to us. And one thing that I wanted to explain, we had mentioned that, you know, you can get a set of documents from a lot of sources. The question is whether you've got a set that makes it possible for you to undertake, for instance, in-service distributions while you're still working. Can you do Roth conversions? These are things that will most likely be part of your go-forwards. We want to make sure that those documents include those provisions. So what we would do is to take a look at your documents, see if it would work for the strategies that might apply, and we may or may not need to restate those documents. It's really a moot point, because the cost to do so is so insignificant. The documents is not what we're competing against. We're competing with everything that's behind the asterisk that you will see on any and every custodial arrangement type of solo K plan, and others, by the way, not necessarily those just from custodians, where it's very clear. You'll see that they make it very clearly understood that they do not provide tax advice. And we could stop there. There, right in and of itself, is a reason to use someone like us that understands everything and then some that their support staff does. And further, we go well past that. We look at private placements that you're thinking about joining, these real estate private partnerships. We make sure they're qualified for the 401 type investment, the solo K type investment, meaning that, you know, there's certain transactions, just like with IRAs, that you cannot undertake with your retirement funds, as an example. If there's a debt guarantee that's required for you to participate by either you or your plan. You cannot, you must not undertake that transaction. You also may be looking at a project involving a business that appears to be rental real estate, in other words, passive investment, which is what's required. Well, it's not required, it's not mandated for the 401, but it is if you would like to avoid the layer of tax that we referred to as UBIT, UBIT, that will apply if it's if the activity that you're investing in or investing your funds in that the partnership is undertaking is a trade or business as opposed to passive activity. And I'll just give a real quick example. Self-storage units, hot area right now, good projects that are out there right now, returning a lot of money. However, when you have U-Haul trucks sitting out in front of your self-storage facility that you rent, and when you sell tape and boxes and other packaging materials inside the office, or you provide logistical packing, moving services, etc., you've crossed a line, and it's now a trader business. Just as my two boutique hotels along the Riverwalk in San Antonio are not deemed to be rental real estate. It's a trader business. They're motels, and they're taxed accordingly. And so if you are going to invest in those things, which, again, you want to know this at the outset. You don't want to find this out in at the end of the year when you get a K-1. Those are surprises that my clients would not appreciate. We all enjoy surprises on our birthday. It's just not this kind of surprise because it's your funds, whether it's an IRA or a 401 trust, are going to owe tax to the IRS, and it's a lot of tax if and when it applies, which usually will be when you exit that transaction, and you'll find that you will leak 25 to 30% of the gains in terms of the payments that have to go from your plan or your trust to the IRS. And then you're still going to pay tax again when you take money out. It's kind of like the new Joe Biden capital gain tax proposal, where your heirs or someone, your estate, I suppose, is going to pay tax when you pass away, whether or not the properties are sold or not. And then if you have enough other assets, you're going to get to include those same dollars or those same assets in the estate tax that might apply to you, depending on where we end up with respect to the lifetime estate and gift tax credit. So in any event, you know, we look at these issues in advance. We try to help you understand what to expect. We may give you some questions to go back to the syndicator involved, the sponsor, the lead partner, et cetera, so that you have a very clear understanding of what you're agreeing to, and, you know, in terms of how the partnership will be operated, what type of reporting you may get. As an example, do you get a copy of the full partnership tax return, or are you simply going to get a K-1? And if you're not getting the entire return, you're not getting the total picture, and there's no way to reconcile the financial statements or other financial reporting you're being provided with your actual share of the dollars that show up on a K-1. Impossible to do that without the full return. And moreover, it's impossible for you to understand what's going on in the partnership. Is the sponsor or lead partner being allocated what they claim they were going to take on the front end, you know, throughout the project, et cetera? So there's issues such as this that will help you hone your game, so to speak, to allow you to get the information to know what this transaction is going to entail. And in fact, I, you know, if you've listened to me long at all, you know I've got a real burr up my saddle for the current fee structure we're seeing on these transactions. And I'm going to tell you right now, with the current level of fees that are showing up, when you look at on a $100,000 investment, how much of your capital is funding an acquisition fee for the team that's running the deal, or a refinance fee, or a disposition fee. And I understand that there's got to be fees. Yes, I understand that. These are all on top of the asset management fee, the property management fee, and a promote or an override of anywhere from 20 to 40%. And so the bottom line is your $100,000 investment is not $100,000. It's far short of that. And if there's no provision to get you your money back, I'm always curious what magic the current crop of syndicators knows that the old school guys and gals did not, to where they're still going to get you a return that is similar to what may have been performed or provided, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. In any event, I think I've answered that question, or I guess the last thing I would say is if you want us to consider working with you, go to our website, baplanner.com. At the top, you'll see a link for client for intake forms. Complete those forms. We'll look at it, and I'll tell you right away whether you're a prospect for the services we offer, meaning you're a good fit for the use of our time and your money. It is a lot of money, and it's collaterally a lot of time or scope. And we want to work for people that will be very happy to pay our invoices, and we'll be happy to address your emails and phone calls on an ongoing basis, because that's what it turns into when you're investing in these types of assets. So speaking of your money, I noticed today that Congress, in its usual fashion, after it gets all the individual senators and congressmen, in this case it's the senators, complain and whine and otherwise cajole to get their special projects included in new legislation and tax proposals, I noticed that the Senate has voted to get past the key, as they say, quote, key procedural hurdle, which otherwise would be known as invoking cloture, which ends debate on the massive bill, $1.2 trillion. And for those of you that keep up with math, if this passes, just this one bill will add another 10 bucks or so to the pile of our national debt, the true national debt, $132 trillion, not the $30 trillion. That's a peanut. That doesn't include unfunded Social Security, Medicare mandates, and assorted other mandates. It's a huge amount of money. But this will add, if my math's right, and I got to tell you, it's hard to do the math. I'm an accountant, and I focus on math. But when you look at the debt clock that you can see at truthinaccounting.org, it's moving hundreds of thousands of dollars by the second. You can't hardly get the number keyed into your calculator. In fact, I just finally decided, okay, I'm going to round up to the nearest $10 million or $100 million break on the number. But it's just amazing the amount of money that we're throwing out there. And, of course, it's all done in the name of necessary investments. I'm going to question the word investment. I'm going to keep referring to it as spending. It is massive amounts of spending that would apparently, part of it, go into the country's roads, highways, public transit, water systems, and broadband. And that's all very, very good infrastructure enhancements. Who among us would not like to know that we won't lose power again when the weather gets bad? All very admirable items. The problem, as Rand Paul's father said many years ago in a Republican debate when he was running against H.W. Bush and assorted others, after listening to each of their number one proposal that they would undertake if they were elected president. I'll never forget this statement. And he was the last one to speak because he was the low man on the totem pole, I guess, as an independent. And he looked at the other folks on stage and said, well, you know, Senator such and such, that's a great idea, whatever they were proposing, and went down the list. And at the end, he said, well, there's just one problem. He said, who's going to pay for it? And that was back when our deficit was literally, I don't know that it was even $1 trillion. It probably was. But in any event, that's a great question. Who's going to pay for this $1.2 trillion? And by the way, there's another $3.5 trillion, probably more, because the House progressives aren't done with the bill that's going to proceed through the reconciliation process. This is an insane amount of spending, and nobody seems to be bothered by the PAYFERS, I believe is what we call them. In other words, what's going to pay for it? In any event, we'll pick up on this just briefly when we get back. If you want to ask a question, again, text me at 713-782-1900 or call 281-558-5738. Be right back. Silver spoon in hand, Lord, don't they help themselves, y'all? But when the tax man comes to the door, Lord, the house look like a rummage sale. It ain't me.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com, or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Universal Propane Grill and Light is where all the grill masters shop for top-tier quality products to barbecue or cook a great piece of meat. Owner Bob Fulton always emphasizes to me the importance of selling a great quality product, whether it's a new grill or one of the many outdoor kitchen accessories. Don't be fooled by buying products online. I assure you, you're not getting what you're paying for. Stop by Universal Propane Grill and Light and allow Bob Fulton to explain and inform you on true quality products. With the huge showroom floor at Universal Propane Grill and Light, you're able to get a hands-on education. Universal Propane Grill and Light stands behind their products. No knockoffs that will corrode, break down, and fall apart after a few uses. Shop where all the grill masters go. Universal Propane Grill and Light, 9106 FM 1960 West, just west of 249. Give Bob a call today at 281-894-8878 or visit their website, gasgrillwarehouse.com. Universal Propane Grill and Light.
Okay, welcome back to the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, where we were just discussing the news today that the Senate has agreed to move forward with towards a final vote to spend another $1.2 trillion of our money, and all cloaked under the quote investment. Heavy investment in our country's roads, highways, public transit, water systems, and broadband. You know what? I don't need to spell all that out. I can tell you we're spending, not investing, in a bigger government. And it's going to be larger, and it's going to go up even more dramatically when the next step comes, which we're already told. The Republicans have already known that the reconciliation is going to add trillions more. And why we're agreeing, I say we, why the Republicans are agreeing to this now when they know that's coming. They also know that the debt ceiling is expiring, so we're going to have to bump that number up again, as is often the case. And by the way, you know, for all the folks, depends on which side of the aisle you're on and who's in control every time the debt ceiling comes up, boy, if you could just go back in time and listen to the quotes by the, you know, respective Democrats that were in control, the respective Republicans, they always hearken back to, well, you know, if we've already spent it, we've already put it on the nation's credit card, but we can't just say we're not going to pay for it. They never talk about that right now. Here we're at a point where we haven't spent it yet. We haven't put it on the nation's credit card. Why don't we have that logic applied now, which is, are we going to be able to pay for it later? Should we perhaps not put this charge or this amount of money on the nation's credit card? And I'm going to tell you, I mentioned just a second ago, depends on who's in control. It matters not who's in control as to the amount of money that we're going to spend. All we're arguing about is how it's going to be spent. And for all the whooping and hollering by the Republican side of the aisle, big government is something they embrace almost as much as the Democratic side. They don't talk about it or they don't brag about it like the Democrats seem to. But if you think that you're ever going to see surpluses again, and like him or love him, but under or don't like him, like him or don't like him, you know, we actually had surpluses at one point under one Bill Clinton, and I was not really a Clinton fan per se, but I appreciated the fact that he didn't squawk too loudly when the Republicans tied his hands and forced at least ostensibly a balanced budget, which that's always questionable when you look at how they get to the numbers that they're saying pay for things. And, you know, it would matter anyway, because at some point, very shortly thereafter, they're going to spend whatever the extra tax revenues are that come from legislation times three. Okay, there's no such thing as really cutting spending when you look at all the automatic increases. And that's in part why our real deficit in terms of real money is about $132 trillion versus the $30 trillion that is acknowledged. And again, it's an accounting issue, reporting issue. And if you think that number is fake, it's not. It's provided in additional reports to Congress. And they're well aware what the number is. It's just everybody acts like, well, oh, we're going to change that before it happens. We'll cut the Social Security inflationary index, or we'll jack the full retirement age up higher. There's a number of little tricks that are not even a Band-Aid in terms of the ultimate cash that's going to be needed. And by the way, we're the only advanced economy in the world that reports in this fashion. The other economies, they execute deficit spending, don't get me wrong, some of them, but they actually show that on their country's balance sheets, unlike the U.S. So anyway, the articles that have come out, I was just reading one on NBC News, and they cloak it in the most eloquent terms. And in fact, this article does not refer anywhere in this article to $1.2 trillion in spending. It says this proposal includes $550 billion in new spending on the aforementioned categories, which have, quote, projects which have, quote, long enjoyed support from both parties, end quote. And you bet, that's exactly the problem, is everybody's celebrating that we've agreed to spend this amount of money, and the Republicans seem to overlook the fact that they're getting played once again. And they've effectively, but I think if they take this action and pass this, they've agreed to share the blame with the Democrats when the reconciliation bill passes, because it's no secret that's going to pass before this thing gets signed by President Biden. They've already said that, even though they've tried to walk it back. The House, the progressives in the House, are going to demand that they have both bills in front of the president at the same time. And I can promise you, with the thin majority in the House, this $3.5 trillion is being proposed on the reconciliation. I can't imagine what that's going to turn into before the progressives free the hostage, quote unquote. In any event, this will all be part and parcel of other legislation that's out there. I am sure in the dark of night, you're going to see assorted individual congressmen and senators' pet projects inserted into this language. The current $1.2 trillion bill is about 3,000 pages. I'm willing to bet you nobody's read it thoroughly or has an understanding of what it's going to turn into, just like previous legislation. It's the norm. And I can't wait to see how many pages the reconciliation bill is and all the nests that are going to be feathered there with Republican and Democratic constituencies. But multi-trillion dollar bill is what's coming, and it's crazy. In any event, I was just thinking, you know, the one strategy that we're starting to help more and more clients with, if this worries you, if this bothers you, that by the year 2029 to 30, somewhere in that time frame, based on current projected tax collections, our country will be unable to fund even the interest on the national debt. Now think about that. It's already a huge percentage of the federal budget. I've forgotten what it is, but let's just say the part that we're arguing over every year when Congress gets into the budgetary process, which, by the way, there hasn't been an accepted, approved budget resolution in forever that I'm familiar, that I'm aware of. We keep doing omnibus bills to extend something from I don't know how many years ago. It just keeps going. We just keep agreeing, okay, we're going to add this much more without the official. Maybe it's not a budget resolution, but it's an official line in the sand that says, hey, this is the final budget. So that keeps getting extended, and it's coming up again. In fact, I think this the reconciliation process will include the budget resolution, and I've forgotten how many trillions it is. It's scary. But again, the percentage of that federal budget that we're actually able to spend on a discretionary basis, in other words, it's not already owed, like the massive amount of interest on the debt, it's a small piece. And so if you just fast forward all the assumptions of tax collections, inflation adjustments on everything we've already agreed to, et cetera, the year 2029 or 30 becomes when the biggest problem will arise, which is there's not enough money to pay the interest on the debt. So what I would suggest is the tax rates must go up. In fact, the projections I see says they have to double to cover the interest on the debt at that point, barring some other massive reset, which I doubt our existing lenders are going to allow. And so if you think high tax rates are problematic, wait till we can't pay excuse me, the interest on the debt and we default. And then you've got the inability to sell the paper that supports, you know, the debt, the treasury bills, et cetera, that support our deficits. So it's a real, as they say, a hot mess that has to be addressed. And yet the current group in Washington still seems to think that, hey, just like in the past, we can keep kicking this down the road. And there's going to be the practical limit, as Dr. Ron Paul said way back when, how are we going to pay for it? So in any event, the Roth conversion is the strategy that you want to start learning more about to reposition your assets to help sidestep this onslaught of proposed tax spending and therefore tax rates. Listen, we're coming to the end of the show again. I appreciate you listening this week. Again, it's a pleasure to be able to provide this information. If you want to connect with me, Nathan@npross.com or baplanner.com or text me, 713-782-1900. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of the Be a Planner Show right here on AM 700 KSEV.